This is it. The legendary live band, Phish, returns to the road this summer. Phish. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Ruoff Music Center. On sale now at livenation.com. Part of the Coors Light Concert Series.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the channel. It's Denise Salcedo, and I am very happy to introduce to you my guest for today. Is a 7-time Emmy Award-winning news and sports anchor and longtime WWE host. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Scott Stanford. Hi, Scott.
Oh, thank you, Denise. What a pleasure to be here. I've been waiting for this for like a month. I couldn't get on the show. Finally, my agent booked me.
Yes. Hey, we have a long list of people waiting here today. But seriously, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on here and talk to me. You know, you have had such a tremendously long career with WWE, and you've been able to do so many stuff, but not just with WWE, but all across the board. But before we get started, let's just go ahead and jump into how are you doing, especially right now with all the madness of the world and how much our lives have changed.
You know what, Denise? I think I'm the only guy who lost weight during the COVID quarantine. I eat ice cream and pizza and devil dogs all day long, and yet I just continue to lose weight. It's unbelievable. But no, listen, I'm just surviving like everybody else, just trying to stay away from the virus and stay healthy and try and, you know, keep working and everybody stays healthy. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what matters. And I'm happy that you say you're probably the only person who's lost the quarantine weight, because I know, like, at the beginning it was like, oh, eat, and then it's like, oh no, like, this ain't going away. Like, you gotta start losing some weight here.
I wish I had a dollar for every time I open up the refrigerator door. If I would have just put a buck into a little bowl, I'd have $100,000 by now.
I know. There's this really funny meme that I saw floating around the internet too that was like, oh, like every time you go into your refrigerator's starting to judge you from how many times you've just been opening. And it's like, what do you want now? Like, you've taken everything right from me. but Scott, I gotta say, you, with your work in WWE, you have brought so much professionalism to the product, and you have a very, very fun personality. And I just want to know, since starting with WWE from 2009 until now, it's been well over 10 years. What has the experience been like for you?
Oh, it's been phenomenal, Denise. That's what WWE is, one of those things that I managed to keep constant over the last December will be 11 years now. With all my jobs in New York TV from NBC Channel 4 and Pix 11, I've always managed to keep WWE going. And, except for one Monday when I had food poisoning and I couldn't get out of my bed, I don't think I missed a day of work there in close to 11 years. And I just, regardless of what it is, whether it's, whether I was doing commentary on Superstars or backstage reporting, or now doing, the kickoff shows for the pay-per-views and NXT and this week in WWE. I mean, I think I've done pretty much everything. I love it. It's so much fun. I grew up a WWE fan. I was always a big fan of Mean Gene Okerlund. Always wanted to be announcers. So I kind of got to, live my boyhood dream. But it's so much fun. And I love the entertainment of it. And I love the storylines of it. I love how the fans get so into it. They're so passionate about it. And it's just been such a great ride. I remember the first day I walked in the door for my audition.
how was that?
It was funny. It was with Joey Styles, who was there at the time, and Joey brought me in, and he knew me from New York TV. So he was excited to see me. I was excited to see him. And they put you through this little audition process, and then you call a couple of matches, and then you wait to hear, if they want to use you. And I walked in, and I aced everything because I was a big fan of the product. And next thing you know, I'm doing shows in the studio, and next thing you know, I'm on the road, and it was just bing, bang, boom. And like I said, I can't believe it's been almost 11 years now, but I wake up every day. I go to WWE the days that I'm working. I look forward to putting my suit on and doing the work, because it's just so much fun.
Exactly. I can only imagine like what a wild ride it's been for you. And here's the thing is that you mentioned the fact that you've worked and you've done pretty much interviews, hosting, whatever it is, you've done it in WWE. So with that being said, what would you say were some of your favorite projects that you did with the company or that you've done?
You know what? My favorite day at WWE was probably when we first started doing pre-shows, the kickoff shows for the pay-per-views. One of the first ones we did, and this is still pre-WWE Network, so they just ran on like YouTube and Facebook. I was the first kickoff show host, which was WrestleMania 29 at MetLife Stadium here in New York. And how about this? It was myself, JR, Kofi Kingston, and Dusty Rhodes. How about that?
To be
on that panel with those guys. And we did it in the stadium, MetLife, 80,000 people. It was up on the screens and the place was going nuts even before the show started. So to this day, that was still one of my favorites. But listen, I can almost every week go on a Raw and SmackDown, just being backstage is an unbelievable time. When I first showed up, my first day backstage, you have, you know, the Bella Twins, Maurice, Kelly, Gail Kim, all these 10, 15 beautiful women walking around backstage. If that enough was like, oh my God, this is going to be every week.
Just heads turning everywhere.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's phenomenal. It's just everything about, you know, it's such a hard job to get, you know, because how many of them are there? I always tell everybody, you know, you do the work, you work hard, but you got to have a lot of luck. A lot of folks who work hard, and if you don't have that luck and things don't click into place, sometimes it just doesn't happen. But for me with WWE, I love it. I have that same enthusiasm today that I did on day one. And I think, you know, when you go in and it kind of spreads to the people you work with, I think that's one of the keys to sticking around so long. It's just that, you know, at WWE, being somebody good to work with is very important to them. The producers have to be happy. No egos coming in, and it's just, it really should. Listen, we're not curing any diseases, right?
Right.
In this day and age, it's kind of no pun intended. But you know, when we're doing the work, it's really just supposed to be fun. And I take it that way. I don't take myself too seriously. And I just go in, I get the job done. We laugh, we go home, we come back another day.
And that's the thing too, that I'm glad you mentioned the thing about luck and working hard and, you know, all of the great qualities you just mentioned, because we have seen so many faces come in, come out in the company. And like I said, you've been there for such a long time and we're able to like manage to like stay there and just like, you know, keep taking every opportunity as they come. But yeah. Now I do want to mention the fact that you have been able to see this different trajectory that the company has gone in. So, you know, prior, obviously, you got to see the rise of the digital age, and they really kicked it off with that. You know, the YouTube numbers are soaring, and all right. These other shows that they've been bringing along, plus the launch of the WWE Network. I mean, you can say that the last several years has just been like booming with content for the company. What has it been like to sort of see all of these new shows come about and just everything that the company is doing?
Well, yeah, no, it's wild. I was hired before, while they were still talking about doing the WWE Network and YouTube. You know, one of the first big YouTube products, I think, from, and it wasn't really from WWE, it was Zack Ryder himself, when he was doing his Z True Long Island Story, which I was a part of with him backstage. I was like his pitch man for all the commercials, which was just a phenomenal. So you talk about having fun. That was so much fun doing those. But, you know, I think what you saw Zach do with the YouTube stuff and the numbers he was, you know, producing, you know, it was, listen, to me, when I first got there, the WWE Network was originally supposed to be on television as a TV network. And then things changed and models changed. So they went with digital. And just like you said, between that and Facebook and YouTube and now Instagram, and Twitter, I mean, just, you know, you look at their numbers, I mean, they are insane. I mean, what do you have? I think there's 60 million YouTube followers and yes. Facebook followers, even when we do our kickoff shows, you know, for the pay-per-views, and they air on all of those different, you know, those different digital platforms. It's amazing the number of people. And again, it's all about content and eyeballs, right?
Right.
How much content can you put out? Make it creative, make it fun, make it interesting, and how many people are watching. And that's what it's all about right now.
So now when you go out there and you do this stuff, like where do you come in terms of like, do you add any additional creative input where you like say like, hey, maybe we should add this, we should do this, or this would be a good idea to incorporate into that. Where do you come in that?
Yeah, well, listen, our shows, I do a bunch of different shows, right? I do WWE Afterburn. I do This Week in WWE and things like that. Most of those shows, the producers will put scripts together. But I have, you know, most of them are younger than me. So I'll say, hey, maybe we should write it this way, or let's do it this way, or more conversationally this way. So I do have a little creative license to do what I want as far as scripts go. I'll always say, hey guys, let's try this or let's try this. And they may take your advice or they may not. But no, it's a great working environment where it's everybody's part of this team. Right. Nobody comes right. in and says, OK, here's the script. This is how we're doing it. This is what you have to say. It's just here's the script. Do you guys want to do it this way? Maybe we should say this. Oh, should we add this? Maybe we shouldn't say it like this. Are we allowed to say this? So, you know, it's a good creative process. But, you know, for me as the on camera talent, you know, everything is usually there for you in place. And then you could say, hey, let's do this. Maybe we should do this. So it works out perfectly. We get everything done very quickly. In this day and age, I'm doing everything either in my basement or outside in my backyard. I tweeted out the other day as I was shooting This Week in WWE, and my partner, Elise Ashton, and she, you know, she's in Tennessee shooting the other half, and we make it look like we're together. I said, it's still amazing to me after all this time how it looks so amazing on your cell phone. And then you upload it to a satellite in space. It comes back down to WWE Studios to an editor all within seconds, you know, in perfect quality. So it's just amazing. Listen, if the technology wasn't what it is today, that's what I was trying to say. And this was 10 years ago when this pandemic hit. I don't know how people would be getting all of this done, right? We wouldn't have any of this.
I almost feel like it's been easier to just get like more content out because, you know, we're at home, we're eliminating the driving time, whatever it is that you Absolutely. Do during your day that takes up that time, you're sort of making up with it by doing this. And right. I mean, it's just so easy, but I agree with you. Had this happened 10 years ago, I don't know where we would be right now in terms of at least the right. digital and television space and all of that. So now let's go ahead and talk about some of your favorite people that you've been able to work with the company, whether it be, you know, actual talent, behind the scenes people. Who are just some of the people that you genuinely enjoyed working with?
I don't enjoy anybody. I think they're all hacks over there.
You're like, no, I'm number one.
They're all a bunch of worthless hacks. I had a great time. The digital show I was doing with Zack Ryder at the time. Listen, every performer, every superstar I've ever met, they're all just super people, creative, talented, physical specimens. You know what I mean? You know, these guys are putting themselves through crazy stuff night in and night out. You know, I can't really pick out one particular person for you because, like I said, everybody's been great. I've had so many different co-hosts, you know, Charlie Caruso, Elise, Kathy Kelly's been my co-host, Jack Corpella, you know, at the table I worked with Jerry the King, Josh Matthews, Matt Stryker. You know, everybody's, it's just, like I said, it's just so much fun. Everybody's there for the same purpose. And it's just been phenomenal. I can't even give you like one name of a person. Oh, I loved working with this person over this person because it's all just been, you know, it's just been phenomenal for me. And I've been there so long. I've worked with a lot of people now.
You're like, I've worked with everybody at this point.
Yeah. And listen, it doesn't mean I'm an old man. I'm still a young guy. I've been able to just, you know, like I said, show up every day, do the work. And, you know, luckily I've been able to stick around. And I hope to stick around for another 20 years because I love doing it.
So now, are there certain things you would still like to do within the company that maybe you haven't done or you would like to get more of an opportunity to do?
You know what? I'm always ready. You know, when you say, you know, you practically have done everything, that's because every time I get a call to do it, I'm always ready to go. You know, hey, can you come do this? Can you come do this? The one thing I would love to do that I've never had a chance to do because there's great people doing it. Boy, I'd love to sit in Michael Cole's seat one day on Raw, or on SmackDown now, excuse me. And, you know, I'd love to sit in Tom Phillips' seat on, you know, on Raw. But, you know, those guys are great. And again, those are once in a lifetime opportunities. But hey, you know what, as long as, like I said, we got the NXT TakeOver coming up this month and SummerSlam. I'll be doing the kickoff shows with, you know, with Sam Roberts and Peter Rosenberg again. And, you know, if there was one thing I'd love to, I never got hit with a chair by any of the wrestlers.
I think that's something that everybody would want to experience at least once, right?
You know what I mean? Like I remember, you know, back in the day when the interviewers would be backstage, men, when obviously the women weren't going to do this, but the men, you know, like Josh Matthews would interview Brock Lesnar. Brock would pick him up by the head and chuck him into the wall. Or, you know, Stryker, every time he was doing an interview out on the set, he would get, you know, body slammed. And I was like, man, I just want to get, you know, crushed out there just once.
Like someone throw me to a table. Yeah, throw me onto a catering table. Doesn't matter. Let's do it.
Yeah, and that's the one way to get a 2-3 week vacation is when, you know, you walk out with the neck brace and, you know, you can't be on the air.
That's hilarious. I love that. So, okay. Now, earlier you mentioned that obviously it takes a lot. It takes luck to also, you know, make it in a company like this, especially when it moves so fast. What would you say to aspiring broadcasters that want to pursue a career as an on-air personality with WWE? What are some of the things that they could do to sort of get them going in the right direction?
Well, you know what, Denise, I always tell, you know, the younger folks, it's all, first of all, it's all about practice, right? It's all about practice, being comfortable in front of a camera, being comfortable interviewing somebody, being comfortable standing there. For example, when I talked about that audition with Joey Styles, right? Joey, one of the things that I had to do that I guess they made everybody do is they hand you a stick of wood. And they say, I want you to sell me this stick of wood for 1 minute on camera, just ad-libbing the whole thing. And, you know, if you're not seasoned enough or have enough practice to say, oh, okay, sure, I could do that. You know, and while before they're saying go, you're trying to think of something in your head, right? But it's all about practice, making the tapes. I say tapes, I'm still in that old school, but, you know, making your demos. And then just, you know, trying to approach people and sending, because that's really all you could do. You know, sometimes you have to be a pain in the butt, to get people to notice you. I was in a great spot where I ended up, like WWE just kind of fell in my lap back in the day. I was a sportscaster and I started doing pieces on WWE people because SmackDown was on my station and they were looking for a person and, you know, hey, let's take this guy. He's already doing everything with us. And it just kind of one thing led to another. So I got lucky, right? I got lucky in that respect. I could be the best at broadcaster in the world. If somebody doesn't want to give you a chance to do it, nobody's ever going to see it. But my advice is just to, if you want to be a WWE announcer, watch what they do on the air, practice, record it and practice and more practice. You know what I mean?
Well,
if you already have, and again, it's a lot easier to get a broadcasting job when you are working. Okay. So if you're already like a sportscaster or a newscaster or a host somewhere, because if you look at even the kids who are doing the bump these days, right?
Right.
A lot of those, I mean, Kayla was already there. Matt Camp was doing stuff on TV and radio at Sirius. So it's always easier to have somebody look at you while you're on the air every day because it's almost like you're auditioning every day. And to this day, as far as I am in my career, every time I'm on the air, I still treat it as an audition. You know what I mean? There's never a throwaway of anything I do. So all those shows we do for WWE, if I think it's important, it's not important. If whether it's a kickoff show or Afterburn that airs in 40 countries that I never see, I treat it with the same respect and energy, like it's, you know, like I'm auditioning, because you really are. You never know when somebody's going to say, hey, give me that tape. I want to take a look at Stanford. And if it's not, you're not giving it your best on that particular day, then maybe they're not seeing what you want them to see.
It's kind of like that thing where because sometimes you work like those small jobs and you're like, oh, this job's never going to get me anywhere or whatever. But it's all of those small jobs and those small opportunities that prepare you for the bigger things and get you ready for all of that. So I feel like that's like perfectly in line with like what I've heard like overall, which is just pretty cool. So now, obviously, WWE isn't the only thing that you've done. Like, you've done news, you've done sports, you've done morning shows, anchors. I mean, you could really go on and on. How did you sort of balance both of these worlds? I mean, I can only assume that your schedule is absolutely insane.
It was, you know what? It was pretty crazy. Like I would, you know, Sukanya and I, who were doing the morning show Pix 11, we now have our show at night on Facebook Live, which that's a whole nother story. but you know, I would get up at 2:30 in the morning and I would come into work. We, you know, 5:30, we're on the air. We, you know, we're on the set from 5:30 to 9 o'clock, doing news and fun and celebrities. I mean, that was the most fun. You know, I'd sit on the set and celebrities would come walking in. I would be like, oh my God, I used to have a poster of her when I was a kid. So, you know, it was a lot of fun. And then we would get off the air at 9 o'clock. We'd probably have a meeting till 10:30. I jump in my car, drive up to Connecticut to do the WWE shows, because those are all pre-taped, so I didn't have to be there at a particular time. Do those shows, get home by like 2:30, and, you know, I'd be probably shot by then. But the main thing is, none of this is work to me. You know what I mean? When you're on the air doing what you love and the camera's on, you don't think about all your bills that you have to pay, or, you know, if I have a backache one day, I don't even notice the pain. So none of it's work. I mean, I could go all day long, you know, from one to the next to the next. And then when I left Pix 11 and added CBS Sports HQ, which is also up in Stanford, you know, so I was going to Connecticut to do WWE. I would finish shooting, go down the road to CBS HQ till 2 o'clock in the morning. And you just keep going. You don't even really think about it. The schedule's crazy, but it's fun crazy. And the day goes quick. And then when you're on your way, I always used to say to my wife, I'd say, boy, I love going to work, but I love coming back home too. When you're done with a full day and you're like, oh, everything went great. You're like,
that's incredible. And here's the thing too, is that like you said, if it's something that you love, it doesn't even feel like work, because it's kind of like you enjoy watching TV. Okay, that's what I'm doing all day. So it kind of falls in line with like those exact same categories, even though you're working and you're making money. So it's different in that sense. Do you have a preference in terms of what you like to do best, whether it be covering news, whether it be covering entertainment, whether it be more on the sports side, what formats do you like the best?
I love the WWE stuff. That's a given. You know, that I've loved that since I'm a kid. But I also love the entertainment side. Like doing the morning shows was really the perfect spot for me outside of WWE, because, you know, you're doing everything. You're going from breaking news to fun news to a politician walking in, to a celebrity walking in, to, you know, you're singing with a choir, to, you know, doing goofy stuff. I like the speed and the pace of it, right? So if we're in a commercial and a politician, you know, the mayor of New York City comes walking in, you go online on your phone real quick, and like, all right, let's do what's going on with the mayor. So for the next 3 minutes, it makes you seem like you don't really know what you're talking. Okay, mayor, and then a celebrity walks in, it's the same thing. You know, in the commercial break, you get some questions in your head, because when you're on the set, you don't really have the time to prepare for the interviews that come in. And there are times where we've sat there for 6 hours on a train derailment, you know, a big explosion or weather, and, you know, there's no prompter and people are, you know, okay, the governor is on the phone. You're going to talk to the governor of New York. You're going to talk to the governor of New Jersey. I just love all the fast pacedness of it. And then that's another one of those things. When you're done, you're like, man, we did pretty well out there today. And it's just, you know, when you have the producers in your ear and the guys on the floor and everybody's working together and it comes out the way you want it to come out, it's great. And even when it doesn't, I always tell I think I was always the guy on the set who said, listen, all right, that got screwed up. Don't worry about it. Nobody's going to remember it 5 minutes from now. We didn't affect anybody's life today. You just keep going and you have fun with it. But my ultimate goal, Denise, my ultimate goal was always to be a game show host.
Got to do some of that, correct?
I got to do a little of that on the Game Show Network. Whenever I was doing sports, I would always do quizzes with the athletes and all kinds of games and things like that. I try to do anything but sports when I was doing it. But being a game show host, like that whole Ryan Seacrest type of career, is, you know, right up my alley for $20-30 million a year would have been perfect for me.
And I love that. It's funny because I was going to ask you, I was like, what are some of your career goals that are still left? And I can definitely see you doing that because, I mean, you have like this presence that is very professional, but at the same time, very fun. And I think I mentioned this early, but I was like, I've seen you dancing. I've seen you do just about everything. And that's what it takes, though, because that people want to see somebody that is fun on the air. And I think that's one of the cool things that you bring to the table. So, Scott, I'm going to go ahead and take that in as a lead into our final segment, which is our lightning round game. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to ask you 10 random questions about yourself to get to know you a little bit better and for everybody to get to know you a little bit better. So you just go ahead and answer them. Here we go. Are you guys ready for lightning round with Scott Stanford? question number one, what is your favorite place to eat in New York?
Favorite place to eat in New York? That would be Del Frisco Steakhouse.
Nice. Question number two, event you were most nervous or excited to cover?
Event I was most nervous or excited to cover? It was the Giants Super Bowl parade. I think it was 2009, maybe, if I'm not mistaken, the Giants Super Bowl parade in New York City.
Oh, I could only imagine how exciting that must have been. Question number three, who are the coolest celebrities that you have met or interviewed?
I met a lot of them, a lot of athletes, a lot of celebrities. But the one I got, you know, Chaz Palminteri, the actor. I just had a thing with George Lopez a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, he's so funny.
There have been so many. One of my childhood posters that I had on my wall, we just did a couple weeks ago, and Donna DeErico, who used to be on Baywatch. And how about this? Last night, I know this might be dated, but last night I had Lisa, the singer, on our show, and I got to sing with her the song. You might be too young. I don't know if you know the song, All Cried Out, but I got to sing with her All Cried Out on my show last night. That was a highlight for me.
I will have to Google the song, but I'll check it out for sure. That's really great. Fun. You have a great singing voice, by the way. That's one of the things I've definitely noticed.
That's fun. Thank you so much.
Question number four. What is your favorite thing to have for breakfast?
The Frosted Flakes.
Nice. And question number five. What are your favorite songs to sing?
Favorite songs to sing are usually like probably Sinatra songs. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet. But you know what? I was just singing in the car some One Direction with my daughter. Everybody wanna steal my girl. So I go,
oh,
you know,
my
I could
God.
Do,
that
yeah,
is so funny.
I go from Metallica to, you know, Barry Manilow to One Direction. You know, I got it all going.
Breaking news. Scott Stanford is a directioner. There you go. I love that. Question number six. Who is your favorite stand-up comedian?
Oh, right now, Sebastian Maniscalco is one of my favorites. But, you know, right now he'd be my favorite, but there's so many great ones. We've had so many great ones on the show, but I'd go right now Sebastian Maniscalco.
Great one. Question number 7. Have you ever had an embarrassing on-air moment? And if so, what was it?
Oh, boy. You know what? I've had so many on-air moments that were kind of goofy. Never really embarrassing because I don't get embarrassed. And there are times where I will goof up on my own on purpose just to make it seem like an embarrassing moment. Oh my goodness. I can't really think of any. I remember my first night ever doing sports in New York, all the tapes weren't working and I was left out there on my own to just, you know, talk about what was happening. And so, cause the highlights wouldn't work.
That could have been very scary.
My very first night on television on New York News. And I think they did it on purpose, but as far as embarrassing, I can't really think of any where I said, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed I did that. Cause I, that's like me. I'd rather do something that looks embarrassing than stay serious.
Kind of works out as like a charming moment instead of an embarrassing moment.
I've had dreams where I was on stage with no pants on, but it never really happened.
I've had the dreams where like you forget all your lines and you're like, what was I supposed to do? I've had those and I'm just like, oh God, then please no. Question number 8, what is your favorite thing to do on a day off?
Favorite thing to do on a day off? Well, you know what? Right now I've been getting into this pickleball. You ever play pickleball?
No, what is that?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, they could have come up with a better name for it, but it's like a hybrid between tennis and ping pong on a court with a little net. And you play with 4 people and you blast the ball back with their like paddle ball rackets with like a wiffle ball type ball.
Oh, I see.
And it's fast. It's crazy. You sweat your brains out. But listen, like I'm always off. So I mean, if this is being off to me and working is being off to me, so I'm, you know, work has always been fun for me, but right now, yeah, the pickleball, that's been my thing. That's my jam right now.
Pickleball it is. Question number 9. Where do you keep your Emmys? I know I see them now.
Denise, I don't know. I can't seem to find them anywhere.
Where can they be?
We used to use one as a gate stopper for when, you know, we had the gates for the kids. My wife would put one to keep the gate open. But they're in a case upstairs with a few other, you know, radio things that I've won. And, you know, I always goof around about the Emmys, but it's funny because in this business, in the news business, they don't really mean much.
But I think it's cool to have, hey, people come over, look at my awards.
It's cool to have. It's not like winning an Academy Award or an Emmy, a daytime Emmy for a soap opera. But it's very cool. The Emmy Award nights are always cool because you got all your peers in the room. And when you win, it's so much fun. But, you know, the next day, it's like, hey, who won last night again? You know,
everybody's trolling you. It's all in good nature. Question number 10, last one. What is your ultimate dream vacation?
Ultimate dream vacation. Probably. Okay. You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
A week in Hawaii with all the briefcase girls from Deal or No Deal.
And are you going to have the little numbers? What activity do we do depending on the briefcase?
We all have numbers with the names on them. So I know who everybody is. And I could say, Sheila, open the case.
We're going, luau dancing or something? I don't know.
Boy, you talk about a cushy game show gig. What about Howie on that one? You know,
right?
Joanne, open the case.
That's a fun game to play. I like to play that one when I would go to Chuck E. Cheese back in the day because they had it there. Dave and Buster's had it too. Yeah.
Do you know the trick? You know when they mix up all the cases on the game? Uh-huh. When they put the big number in and they mix them all up?
Right.
If you take your phone and put your phone in slow motion and film it, you could follow the case to where it goes, and then you could pick the right number.
Oh, my God. I've been doing it wrong my entire life.
So have I. Somebody taught us that trick, and we did it. The only thing is the slow motion goes a little too slow, and then they're asking you to pick the case while you're still watching the slow motion go on your phone. But it's a great way to do it. It's easy to follow it that way.
That's good. Hey, get those tickets because those places charge a lot of money and you want to go home with the biggest prize. So do what it takes. Scott, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. It was so much fun. Before we go, where can people find you on social media?
Well, let's see. I am at Scott Stanford One on Twitter and Instagram. We have an amazing show on Facebook Live every night at 7:30, the Suki and Scott Show, where there's all these guests and entertainers. So that's the Suki and Scott Show on Facebook Live. And what else is there? There's Facebook.
You're like, there's this, there's that.
Yeah. I don't have a MySpace page anymore.
Darn it. I used to love ranking friends.
But, you know, at Scott Stanford One and the Suki and Scott Show, which is also, that's a whole nother story. That thing's taken off like crazy, but we can talk about that another day.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to go ahead and add all of those links in the description box. So guys, make sure to check those out. Scott, thank you once again. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Please do not forget to leave a comment in the comment section below. Let me know what you thought of this interview. Give this video a like and subscribe to the channel for more videos like this one. Until next time, we'll see you guys later. Bye, everyone. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, please don't forget to leave me a super nice review and a 5-star rating. Plus, make sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @_DeniseSalcedo for funny wrestling commentary, guest updates, silly live stuff, and more.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.